in the chapter 16. I'm going to commence reading at the 13th verse. Luke chapter 16, verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. He said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abram said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abram saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. End our reading at the close of the chapter. Trust tonight the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts for Jesus. Amen. I want to make it clear tonight at the very outset of the preaching of God's word, I delight preach the love of Jesus Christ. It gives me no greater joy than to present to men and women the reality of heaven. But as true as there is a heaven to gain, as true as God's love has been evidenced towards sinners, there is another aspect of the gospel which the Bible sets forth. And it is the reality that there is wrath, there is punishment and judgment for sin in the life and in the experience of the Christ rejecter. And to be faithful to God, the preacher must set those truths before men and women also. I want to speak to you this evening. The story that is recorded or told by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31, of a certain rich man and another man called Lazarus. I have to say that this story, it is a true story. And I think you should keep that in mind as we move through the events that took place this evening. The events that took place are real. The outcome, the conclusion of events that took place
still a fact, these two individuals whom Jesus spoke about even to this very present time. By way of introduction this evening, I would point you to verses 22 and 23, and I would show you that this story commences with something of a certainty. It says it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Where most stories end, this one begins. Most incidents or things that are told to us, they would conclude with death. But where they conclude, this story begins. You'll notice there is a great contrast. For there was a rich man, and he died. There was a beggar, and he died too. What a contrast. One ate the finest food upon his table every day. One had plenty of money in the bank. He had the best clothing that money could buy. In short, he had everything that this world could offer. A life of luxury. A life that perhaps few of us could ever imagine or experience. And yet we're told in these verses that he died. The other man was Lazarus. He had no money. He had poor health. He had few friends. He had no home. He had none of life's comforts. But mark the certain reality, the certainty, the truth that is presented to you, that just as the rich man died, the beggar died also. My friend, I would impress upon you tonight from the very outset of this meeting that in an uncertain world, there is one thing that is sure. It doesn't matter what your rank, it doesn't matter what your station, it doesn't matter what your age is. One thing is true. We must all needs die, for it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. That is a reality. And I wonder tonight, have you faced up to it? I wonder, have you accepted it and realized there is an eternity that awaits beyond the grave? As I read these verses, I discover that this story continues with something that is conditional. If you look at verse 22, it says, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Death was not the end, it was only the beginning. And the moment that Lazarus closed his eyes in death, the angels of God carried his soul to the paradise of God and into the immediate presence of the God of glory. There was no such thing as a soul sleeping until the resurrection day. No, he went straight to the paradise of God. And I have to say, that's a wonderful thought. It gives me great joy to say that there is hope for sinners, and that at the point of death there is comfort that we can give. That your soul will not be left to walk the valley of the shadow of death alone, but it will be ushered by the angels of God into his immediate presence. But I have to point out, it's conditional. Men and women, not everybody will be ushered by the angels into Abram's bosom. Not everybody will be ushered by the angels into the paradise of God. This man was saved. And I put it to you, if you don't want to walk the valley of death alone, if you want some comfort in that hour, then you need to be saved too. You know, there's a song, and it's sometimes sung, I'm sure you've heard it. You'll never walk alone. I have to say to you, men and women, tonight, if you die without Christ, you'll walk the valley of death alone. Here was a man, and he had comfort in death. In the hour of death, the angels came and they carried him. The angels to Abram's bosom. You'll notice as this story goes on, it commences with something that is certain. It continues with something that is conditional. But it climaxes with something that can only be described as catastrophic and terrible. For if you look at verse 23 and 24 again, it says that this man was carried into the
in Abram's bosom by the angels of God, of verse 23, and in hell the rich man, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. There was no one to walk the valley of death with him. He was on his own, and on his own he lifted his eyes in hell.
How catastrophic that is. I tell you tonight, men and women, hell is not the figment of the preacher's imagination to make you religious. It has not been dreamed up by religious individuals in the past. It is the truth of God. And I want to say tonight, you can avoid the subject of hell. You can bury your head in the sand as far as this theme is concerned, but you can never escape the place if you die without Christ. I remember, it's about 2 years ago now, we were having a gospel meeting in Stranraer, and two of our students from the Whitfield College were along. They had helped out in some outreach that week. We had advertised the services, and that evening one of the students was preaching. His subject was the greatest contrast in the Bible. And that night he spoke and he contrasted heaven and hell. And there was a woman in the meeting that night. She'd never come before, and she never came again. And she made it known to a friend who was in the meeting. She said, "When that man preached on hell, it scared the life out of me, and I'll never be back." I tell you, she's never been back. I have to say tonight, you can avoid the subject. And if you don't like a church that preaches hell, fire and damnation, you can avoid that church. But you'll never avoid the reality of the place if you die without Christ. I want us tonight to consider this rich man as he lifted up his eyes in hell, and what it really means for a soul to be lost. And listen, if you're in this meeting and you are not saved, I want you to think what it would mean for you to die without Christ. I want you to notice firstly the rich man and his sufferings. Hell is a place of suffering, and nowhere else in all the Bible is there, I believe, that describes the sinner's state and condition in hell quite like this passage that we have read together. It sets forth unspeakable, unimaginable, immense sufferings, and I want you to note those sufferings are threefold. Those sufferings are literal. We believe in the literal sufferings of a lost eternity. I can't fully explain what the disembodied state is like. In other words, what it is for the body to be in the grave, to be rotting, to be turning to dust, and yet for the soul to live on in a conscious state in eternity prior to the resurrection. But what I see here is that while this man's body was in the grave, he had all his faculties. He had all his senses. If you look at verse 23, you will see that he had sight, for it says in hell he lifted up his eyes. His eyes were in the grave. They were turning to dust, but he could see. If you look at verse 24, you can see that he had speech. He had taste. He had feeling. For he says, it says he cried and said, "Father Abraham," so he speaks. He says, "Cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." He could taste on his very tongue the torments of hell. He had feeling. And if you look at verse 25, you'll see that he could hear. For he could hear Father Abraham speaking back to him. His eyes, his ears, his tongue, his flesh, they're in the grave. He was buried, it's emphasized, and they're rotting away to dust. But he can see, he can hear, he can taste, he can feel. And if you read this passage carefully, you will discover that each one of those senses caused him suffering. The sight of Lazarus in glory, that caused him great suffering. By the taste on his tongue, he could feel it. He was tormented in the flame. He could hear Father Abraham speak to him. wisdom suffering. And I am saying to you tonight, your body may go into the grave someday, but you will have all your senses about you if you die without Christ. And they will cause you literal sufferings for your rejection of the Savior. I want you to notice too that his suffering was not only literal, it was mental. I want you to notice verse 25. He says, I am tormented in this flame. Now he didn't say, I am tortured. You see, torment is a state of mind. And what was it that caused him such torment, such mental agony? Look at verse 25. Abraham said, son, remember. This man was a son of Abraham. He was a Jew. And that brought with it certain blessings. Paul asked the question, what advantage is it being a Jew much every way? For unto them were committed the oracles of God. The Jew had an open Bible. The Jew had the law, the word of God taught to him. They had the expectation of a Messiah. They knew the gospel. They were exhorted by the priests to turn to come to the Messiah, to receive him by faith as they would lay their hand on the sacrifice. There was that man as he perished in a lost eternity. The thought of his blessings, the exhortations of the preacher, the prophet, the entreaties, the warnings, the exhortations to come, the good things in his life, spiritual good things that he had set before him and rejected him, tormented him. Is it not the case that missed opportunities will torment the sinner in a lost eternity forever? I can picture the men of Noah's day. And if I could lift the lid off hell tonight, maybe, just maybe, they're crying, open the door. Open the door. The door was open, but they didn't go in. And is that what torments them tonight? Men and women, the preacher's voice. A mother or father reading the Bible. A mother or father sharing the word in season about your soul. Missed opportunity. Is that what will torment you throughout all eternity? You'll notice too that these sufferings were eternal. For it says in verse 25 and 26, thou art tormented, and beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. This man was pleading for mercy. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and put it on my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He's pleading for mercy, but none can be found. There's a great goal fixed. You can't pass. You must stay in that place forever. Forever. Eternal. I want you to notice in the second place tonight, not only this man and his sufferings, I want you to notice this man and his separation. See, hell is not only a place of suffering, it's a place of separation. You'll notice he was separated from heaven. Look at verse 26. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. I don't know how much the rich man could see of Abraham. I don't know how much he could see of Lazarus. I don't know how much he could see of the paradise of God, but he could see something. And yet Abraham, Father Abraham, tells him, you'll never be here. Separated from heaven. And I know my Bible tells me something of that place. It tells me that heaven is a place without sin. It's a place without sorrow. It's a place where there is no suffering. It is a place where Satan cannot get at or to the people of God. My Bible tells me it is a place where there is no death. There is no destruction. There is no defilement. It is a place without tears. It is a place without trouble. It is a place where the glory of God resides. It's a place of paradise. A place of peace. A place of perfection. A place of worship and praise. A place with the golden streets, the pearly gates. And I have to say tonight, I'm going home to glory soon. Oh, with the hope of heaven, because Jesus holds it out. Though the world may say there's hope some other way, I'm depending on the blood. And if you're trusting and resting on the blood of Jesus, you can say that too. I'm going home to glory soon. Take possession of your mansion. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Tell me this tonight. Is that not where you want your soul to reside when your life on earth comes to a close? Is that not where you want to be throughout the ages of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? In the glory of His person, in the peace that He gives, in the harmony and the unity of glory? Or do you want to spend eternity with the devil and his angels in the fires that burn and are never quenched? I tell you tonight, if you die unsaved, there is no escape from the sufferings. There is no escape from hell and heaven. You will never see. He was separated from heaven. Do you notice in verse 27? He was separated from his home. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my Father's house. This man had a home. There was a family place where the relations gathered. If you read on, you'll discover that he had five brethren. And I take from reading this portion that they were a close family. They were a happy family. They would spend many times together in the home place. I don't know about you, but I've been married now for 6.5 years. And yet, and we've been in Scotland for quite a number of those years. You know, there's always something that thrills your heart about coming home to where you were brought up. Something about the mother or father's house. Something about seeing your family, your brothers, your sisters. There's happy times. There's bonds made in that place that cannot be broken. The home is a happy place. And this man can see and or rather know that his brethren will be there. They'll be having happy times. But he is absent and he can never return. My friend, once you die, all those earthly ties are severed. They will never again be experienced. And I wonder tonight, if you were to depart this life this evening, would you be separated from your home, from your loved ones eternally? Those family members that gather around at certain times of the year, perhaps a closer family member that you're with every day or very often, and they're going home to glory. They're on the way to heaven tonight, but you're still in a lost sinner's state. Will the circle be broken in eternity? Are you prepared never to see those loved ones again? Because they're going to be with Jesus. This man was separated from heaven. He was separated from his home. But do you notice he was separated from all hope. Look at verse 26. We've read it already. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so the day which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Do you know what Abram was saying to him? I don't know what his name was, but he was telling him, there is no hope. I remember as a young child watching a television program that had been made. It was a documentary. And it examined men who had been serving very, very long sentences in prison. And I'll never forget, as a child, the journalist asked one of those men who were serving a very lengthy sentence for some crime that they'd committed. The journalist asked him this: what keeps you going in this place? And I'll never forget the answer that was given. The prisoner looked at him and he said, the only thing keeps me going is the hope that one day I will be released. The only thing that keeps me going is the hope that one day I will get out of here. Friend, in hell there is no hope. You'll never escape if you neglect and reject God's so great a salvation. I want you to look at one other thing tonight as we bring our meeting to a close. I want you to notice this man's supplication. I don't know if he ever prayed in his life, but he made a supplication to Abraham. And of course, it was too late. For once, a soul passes out into eternity. The die is cast. The line is drawn. But he makes this petition to Father Abram, and I want you to notice his address, because it shows us tonight the way of escape. You'll notice in verse 30, he mentions repentance. He says, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. This was a man who knew the gospel. And he says, send Lazarus to my brethren, that they might take the warning, that they might turn, that they might repent and not come to this place. I want to close tonight with the good news. It's never nice to preach in hell. It's an awful solemnity that it brings. But I tell you, dear friend, there's good news tonight. If a man or woman repents of their sin, turns to Jesus Christ while they live in this life, they'll never see the caverns fail. What is repentance? It's been summed up very simply. It's a change of mind that leads to a change of action. My friend, it refers to sin. We see our sin as it really is before God. Like the prodigal, we come to ourselves. We see that sin separates us from our Father. We turn from it and we leave the far country and we come again to the Father's house. Oh, we saw sin as it really was, offensive to God. He turned from it and he came and he embraced his Father with his arms open wide, ready to receive him. I tell you, not only did he sorrow and turn from his sin, but he embraced the Father that took faith. And I leave you with the words of Ezekiel 33. The exhortation of the prophet in chapter 33 and verse 11. He said, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Tonight, dear friend, will you not turn from your sin? Embrace Christ as he is offered in the gospel. If you look at verse 31 in closing, you will see the answer that he received. They say, if they hear not Moses. Oh, he said, send Lazarus from the dead. Then they'll believe. Then they'll repent. And that Abraham's answer is, no, they won't. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I ask you tonight in my closing appeal, will you not accept this book as the Word of God? I ask you, will you not accept what Moses wrote of Christ? Will you not accept what the prophets wrote of the judgment? Will you not accept that Christ came to save sinners, to save you, if you will receive Him? Don't be fooled. Should one rise from the dead, if you will not believe that book, you wouldn't believe Him. And I ask you tonight, look to the Word of God. Read it, believe it, obey it. Turn to Christ, the salvation of your soul. I'm going to sing in closing. This question comes.